When I saw Tyrod go down, I kind of realized, like, oh, I'm up next. I mean, I'm the quarterback, so.
What is going on, Giants fans? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. I'm your host, JQ. I'm here with my boy, Tommy Boy, and we're here to recap the Giants' Week 10 win versus the Texans. Giants moved to 7-2. They beat the Texans 24-16. It was a good game overall. I feel like they handled business, and on to the next one. Tom, what's good, bro? A little long time no see. We've both been busy adults.
Yeah, adult life is wild, man. Its main obligation is just to go to work. But the Giants are 7-2, dude. That's all really my life has come back to at this point. Like they obviously were favored in this game. They were supposed to win this game. They were never trailing in this game. And then, like, they win and you see the final score. And you just look at it and I laugh and I, they're 7-2.
It's interesting to look at because they have a we have like a whiteboard at MLB Network, like in my department, and we keep records of like, the teams around like the local tri-state area. So like the Eagles are on there or whatever, the Jets, the Giants, like the Devils, the Rangers, the Knicks, And every day I look and it's like every week I go in and I see like a better record and I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. But I'm not gonna say no to it. So I mean, I've been enjoying it. I went to the game. It was a lot of fun. The atmosphere was really good again. So it's just been a lot of fun. 7-2 looks really good, and we're hoping to be 8-2 before Thanksgiving for Turkey Day versus the Cowboys.
That's gonna just be such an issue, dude. Like they're gonna be favored again against Detroit. Detroit's quietly won two in a row, but like if again if we if someone told us if some mythical being from above told us back in August when we were getting ready for the season and really not knowing what to expect at all, I was expecting the worst. And we'd be told that we could potentially be 8-2 going into a Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys. I'd laugh.
Yeah, really, right? And now that we're sitting here, it's kind of nice because we're Giants are up a game now, and the Cowboys are only one game back of the Eagles, which is insane. Eagles lost the other night, Monday night, to the Commanders, so that's something to look out for. Anyone can be beat. That's the crazy thing, and this Detroit team, like you said, has won two in a row, so you can't take them oh so lightly. So I'm really looking forward to that game. That should be a really good one, but. This Texans game was fun. It was cool to see Dameon Pierce. He's something else. He's a little freight train, like a little wrecking ball. But I thought the defense did a good job of containing him and getting to Davis Mills. They made life miserable for him all that game on Sunday. So it was a lot of fun, Tom. I had a great time. Tailgate
Dude.
vibes were good. I met Chris Anatena in person. We've had him on the show before. Geez, probably like 2 years ago we had him on, but yeah, I finally got to meet him in person. So shout out to you, Chris. That it was nice to meet you.
Nice.
But yeah, fun times, great times. MetLife is fun.
Dude, they just the fan base is just genuinely really, both teams in that stadium, the Giants and the Jets, the fan bases are just so happy right now. And it's something that not even collectively, just individually, just hasn't happened for either team in so long. The Giants had the one fluke year, if you will, in 2016. The Jets had right around that same time with Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall and those guys. But other than that, dude, the last decade has been brutal for both teams. And just now both fan bases go into MetLife every single week, just, confident. I think confidence is the key word to kind of nail on the head there, because both of these teams, obviously I'm talking about both, but back to the Giants, they just win games, dude. They went to Seattle. It's not an easy place to play. They lost. Ugly game. You move on. They lost that primetime game at home against the Cowboys. Some say, that they needed that reality check type of game. But these other wins are just so obviously the first ones early in the year were full of comebacks, full of trailing in the fourth quarter, coming back to win, and then this was their first, relatively dominant win from quarter to quarter. They trailed the second quarter and the fourth quarter by three each, but just a dominant game. they win games, man. They don't fold to the competition. You know, you've been at there's been five home games. I think you've been to four of them.
I've been to all of them.
You've been to all of them.
Yeah.
They don't fold. They don't play to the other team's style. They stick to whatever game plan they have, for better or worse. And this has to be the first time in several years. I don't even know if we can find the right number, the right year. Saquon had 35 carries for 152 yards.
Yeah, career high in carries.
Yeah, yeah, and of course a touchdown. Forget about the yards for a second. I don't know when the last time one Giants running back had 35 carries in a game. That's a lot. That's cool. Those are like Derrick Henry numbers. Throwback to DeMarco Murray back in his big year with the Cowboys, Zeke over the last several years. Those are those types of numbers. And we never really kind of envisioned Saquon as that kind of running back, just because, he's so dynamic and can do so much more across the field. But I liked what I saw. I don't know about what you saw from the stands. I liked what I saw from a 35 carry game.
Oh, it was great. I mean, talk about an ultimate workhorse, Tom. Like, he just does it all, Saquon. Wherever you need him, he's stepped up this year big in pass blocking too, as well as a running back. That's something they always criticized him on. So he's been the all-around, like, perfect package. And looking at how many times he carried the ball, the Giants ran the ball 47 times on Sunday. Daniel Jones only dropped back 17 times, which is, listen, if it works, it works. And it did. And that's like one of those games I was sitting at, Tom, where I felt confident. As soon as the Giants scored that first touchdown, I was like, yeah, now I can kind of like just watch the game and kind of like sit there as a fan, like react, just cheer, have a good time. Like, I felt like they were in full control the whole time. I know the Texans made a couple comebacks here and there, but the Giants mostly had answers for everything they did in the most part. And they scored three touchdowns. It wasn't a 30. They didn't score 30 points on offense, but they did a pretty damn good job and scored 24. And if you could score probably 20 or more in the NFL, you have a good chance at winning every week.
Dude, the way the NFL is, especially this year, scores and stats really don't mean anything. This year, I'm talking about just this year in particular, through 10 weeks. It's hard to win in the NFL. The coaches say that, the players say that. As a fan watching, really, just if you just watch Red Zone all day, so you watch every game, you can see that it's not easy to win. So from fans like us that really haven't experienced any winning the last 4 or 5 years, you take a win any way you can get it. I don't care if they win 10-3, 5-3. What have I been saying since you brought me onto the show? It's all about getting the W at the end of the day. A stat came out, the Denver Broncos would be 8-1 right now if they just scored 18 points a game. If they scored 18 points in all 9 of their games, they'd be 8-1. That's how well their defense is playing. They obviously are not that. They are struggling very much because their offense is horrible. So, yeah, is Danny lighting up the box score every week? No. Is he making mistakes? No. And for some reason, I guess we should have seen it coming. Naturally, he's having one of the most consistent years. Consistent is the better word. Is this his best year ever? No, I would say probably his rookie year was when he threw 22 for 24 touchdowns. But, this is his best year as an NFL quarterback, being that he's not making mistakes. He's not losing them games. He's, in fact, winning them games. There's games where if you actually watch the game, and if you couldn't watch it, you watch, the full 22 or whatever it's called, the full 60 or whatever.
Yeah, the all 22. Yep.
The all 22. He contributes to them winning games. And for some reason, this fan base is basically still torn in half, because you have all the people that last year and the years before that said he wasn't any good, and because he never put up numbers and he never contributed to wins. And now that it's contributing to wins and they're 7-2, a game back of the division, and all three and three of the four NFC East teams are in the playoffs right now, and the Commanders are only half a game back from that, they're still critiquing and saying that, this is the coaching, they simplified the game plan, which might be true. But at the end of the day, if it's winning, who cares? I think that's the thing that's kind of annoying. And I don't know what it's like at the games, if you can kind of get that same buzz from people, but I don't know why we can't just be happy that the team itself is winning games. At the end of the day, if Danny threw, like, take the 49ers, for example. The 49ers ran the ball 49 times on Sunday night or Monday night, whenever they played. Sunday night. And they won. And they won. Garoppolo threw the ball, I don't know, like 12 times, 15 times. If that, 49ers fans aren't complaining. They won the game. They shut the other team down and they won the game. Why, you know, like where, if you will, where did we get the audacity to like complain about how the Giants win games? Like where did, like, you know, where did that sense of entitlement, if you will, come from? I don't know, man.
People are just, they're jumping ship, Tom. They're not used to the style of football. It's kind of like back to the old school days. Like a lot of these teams have been running the ball a lot this year. You see that. Like you'll look at a lot of quarterback numbers, be like, why isn't this guy playing? So it's because they run the damn ball. And if they run it really well, it opens up everything else. And back to what you were saying about Daniel Jones, what I see in the seats at the stadium is just nothing but a guy who protects the ball, is making all the smart reads, and is making the right plays. He made some big-time throws on Sunday. And you look at his stats, he went 13 for 17. Nothing crazy, only dropped back 17 times. 197 throwing yards, and he averaged 11.6 per attempt. That's up there with his career high, which is pretty outstanding for a kid who usually is used to throwing the ball 5 yards and out every single time. Two touchdown passes, and just no interceptions. This is the sixth game in a row that Daniel Jones has not turned the ball over via the interception ball. So this has been really good, dude. He's been playing fundamental football, and it's great. And if you think about it, two of his drops came from Kenny, or two of his incompletions came off the hands of Kenny Galladay, which passes he should have caught. But yeah, no, Daniel Jones has been playing really well, dude. And I, you know, people want the flashy numbers. They want to see him throw for 300 yards a game. But when you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield, you kind of have to use him, you know? Like, I don't get the point of not using him. So, and listen, he's been amazing. He's been the best running back in the league this year for a reason. And he's a guy that is literally, you could say it right now, is carrying the Giants in the playoffs, Saquon Barkley. It's exciting. I know we're not there yet, one game at a time, but you keep clawing away with a few more wins and you'll be totally fine the rest of the year. So this is a fun time. But yeah, Daniel Jones, you've been good. The kid's been good, dude. And he had a nice, they did a lot of cool things against the Texans. They didn't let the Texans get ready. So they did a lot of no huddles and they let Daniel Jones call a lot of audibles. So you saw Slayton catch a big crosser over the middle for 27 yards. No one was near him. It was nice. And the play that Darius Slayton turned into that 54-yard touchdown pass, Jones made a nice throw under pressure, held onto the ball for a while, made sure it got to Slayton. Slayton made a defender miss, and the rest was history. He ran all the way into the end zone. So
just
making big plays, Tom. That's what they've been doing.
I think Darius Slayton deserves some flowers after this week. He's a guy that you've obviously heard about for several years now. He's been on the team for a few years. Never any issues with him. There's never any off the field issues. There's never any locker room issues. There's never any arguing with coaches. There's never any not getting along with the quarterbacks or the linemen or the defense. He just comes to play football. And it got brought up on Twitter, exactly what I just said, you know, a guy that despite how bad the team played the last several years, despite how many times his role, if you will, changed, through game to game, week to week, even this year, you know, he hasn't been lighting up the stat sheet every week, but he's just there. He's there to play. You could tell the coaches love him because you're not hearing about him. I think that's the thing. You know, there's so much low key drama around this team with a guy like Kadarius Toney, who's gone now. And obviously all the Kenny Galladay stuff that seems to never, ever leave this team. Just shout out Darius Slayton, man. You know, he shows up, and when, you know, three, he only had three catches, but they were for 95 yards and a touchdown. What more really can you ask for in a game that they really didn't move the ball down the field that much because they ran the ball so many times. And when they needed the big play, they got it out of Darius Slayton. it just bothers me when, which is really the NFL fan bases in general. It's just, you know, it's like sport fans, the way they are, they're never happy. The term like fraud, like fraudulent, gets thrown around all the time. Like, you know, everyone says that the Minnesota Vikings are the most fraudulent 8-1 team in the world. They say that, you know, the Giants are a fraudulent 7-2 team. There's even like, you know, the Cowboy fans and other fans that'll say, you know, the Eagles really aren't that good. I'm putting up quotes if you can't see. What do you want these teams to do? Like everyone said that about the Titans last year, you know, like, oh, the Titans are the most fraudulent 11-5 team, or like, you know, like 11-6 team in the NFL. And then they,
they still won the division. I mean, they still won the AFC.
They say the Titans last year were the most fraudulent team in the NFL. And then the playoffs came and they lost. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't, like, why do we have to basically crap on teams for winning regular season games during the year? No one said you have to blow teams out and every win has to be pretty. If you win games, you win games. If the Giants were 2-7 right now, Dable, Joe Shane, Daniel Jones, Saquon, everyone would be getting ripped apart saying that, you know, the regime still isn't good. This team is terrible. But they're winning games. They're 4-1 at home. They're 7-2. They're a game back in the division. And again, just no one's happy.
Everyone's out for blood.
I think that's been my theme of this episode, is that, like, yeah, they won. Me and you should be jumping through the screen and hugging each other right now. But like, for some reason, it's itching at the back of my head that, like, there's people that still aren't happy. Again, probably not at the game, because at the game, everyone that spent their Sunday at that stadium had a great time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think every fan's just out for blood. I mean, there's blood in the water, and the Giants have really hopped on it this year. What I mean by that is they're taking advantage of an easier schedule. They haven't had a schedule like this in a couple of years, and they haven't had the talent to do it. But with the right coaching staff right now and better talent through the draft class, through free agency, Saquon being healthy, Daniel Jones limiting turnovers, they're taking advantage of this schedule. And everyone's like, oh, like, they're a fraudulent 7-2, but they're winning the games they're supposed to win. And they've even won games that they're not supposed to win. So that's why it's like, what happens if they lose these easy games? You're going to go and say they're a terrible team because they're losing games that they should win. Okay, then who's going to pick a side here?
Exactly.
There's no side. A win's a win. Saquon said it in his presser after the game. I forgot who asked him the question, but he's like, I've never heard of an ugly win. All I know in my book, a win's a win. And it doesn't matter how you win. Like, if he's got to run the ball 35 times, I'm not the biggest fan of that because I don't think he needs to be doing that every game. But he looked pretty damn good doing it, man. He tore apart that Texans defense. He had some really big runs, and he's just been really consistent. You haven't seen the home run hitters all year. You know, we had a couple big runs, the one against Green Bay for 40, the one against Tennessee for 68, but
yeah.
He doesn't need to do that all the time to help the team move the ball down the field. And I think he's noticed that. And even though in my mind, I sit there at the game when he breaks off like that big 27-yard run, I'm like, wow, if he just doesn't get tackled by the ankles right there, he's going for like a 75-plus-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
So it's been great, dude. It's been a lot of fun. The offense, you know, they might not be the best, but they're putting points on the board. And It just sucks sometimes because I want to see Kenny Golladay actually catch the ball and, you know, contribute to this team. But what it's just such a mess. And, you know, he dropped the first one and I was like, all right, him and Jones were both rolling to their left. Like, I think he easily should have caught it. It would have been a gain of like 15. And then the second one he dropped, it's just like through your stomach. It's like he's got a hole in his stomach.
Yep.
And the boos just rained down and they let him hear it. You know, like Giants fans, they don't hold back, and I'm sure a lot of other fan bases don't either, but they let him know. And then, you know, he got benched and that's it. So hopefully you see more from him this week. He's playing his former team. Maybe you'll see him out there, but they're winning without him. They did the same thing without Kadarius Toney. They're, you know, in quotes, I'm saying with my hands right now, the two best receivers on that team both contributed nothing to this 7-2 record. So
right.
It shows where the team is. And like you said, give Darius Slayton his flowers. That guy, you know, can make something out of nothing. That's what he did with that 54-yard catch and run. That was right into my corner of the end zone. So he caught that pass and he ran straight at us. One fast human being, I'll tell you that, man. He is one fast man. So it was a lot of fun, Tom. The offense did well, but you got to give the defense a lot of credit. I mean, they held Damian Pierce in check for the most part. 17 carries, 94 yards. His longest was 44 yards. He had a nice big run. But overall, the defense did really good, Tom. I was very pleased with that because, you know, like they always criticize the Giants' run defense. But when they play these better backs, they show up. And they had four sacks to go along with it. Awards need to go to Dexter Lawrence. He's a phenomenal player. So, I mean, the defense has been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
It was nice to see them not really skip a beat with the absence of Xavier McKinney, of course, who injured himself, you know, riding a dirt bike during the bye week or whatever it was.
ATV. Oh yeah. ATV. I'm sure all Giants fans know about that now, but yeah, ATV, broken hand. So fingers.
It was nice to see them, you know, Leonard Williams, 9 tackles, Julian Love, 7 tackles, Adoree Jackson, 6 tackles, Fabian Morrow stepped up, 6 tackles, Jalen Smith, 5 tackles, Dexter Lawrence, 5 tackles. Everyone there were 9 defensive players with 4 or more tackles.
And that's money. That's really good. That's
money, dude. And, you know, a million others with 1 tackle, 2 tackles. But that's a really just all-around phenomenal defensive game. And, yeah, the Texans aren't exactly the most lethal offense in the NFL, but it doesn't matter. Defense played great, continues to play great. They play the Lions next week. You know, the Lions have more of a faster, high-paced, high-octane offense. They can put up points like it's nothing. It's gonna be a fun game to watch.
But they've also laid some goose eggs that team.
Oh, of course.
And you know, they're a team like the Texans too. You can't sleep on them, but it's a team you gotta beat. And back to what you were saying about Xavier McKinney, how they didn't miss a beat. With Julian Love was calling the plays for the defense. You know, from what I noticed in the stadium, it looked smoother to me. Like the defense seemed more prepared. Going into every snap, you know, like players are running around and like one guy's dragging one guy over here to the line of scrimmage. He's like, you line up here before like the snap, like all this pre-snap motion. I felt like there was less of that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Julian Love is a vet. So, and he's been calling plays this year too, during practice, just not on the field. Cause that was Xavier McKinney's job all these past couple months, but I didn't think they missed the beat at all with Julian Love. And you know, he's a phenomenal player. Jalen Smith, too, in the run game has been something else for the Giants because they don't have great linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
But I really got to say the MVP of the defense, I think, is Adoree Jackson. I just think he's been locked down at corner all year. He was targeted 10 times and only allowed like 3 receptions. He's been money, dude. And without him this year, I don't know where this Giants secondary really would be. You know, shout out Danny Belton. The rookie safety got his first interception at a big moment, too, in the corner of the end zone. So the defense is just next man up. Dable preaches it. Next man up, and we're going to get it done. But, I mean, it's been great. Awards to Dexter Lawrence, Adoree Jackson, Andrew Thomas, and Saquon. Awards now.
Awards, flowers, awards, medals, whatever they want. They got it. I have a little tidbit for you for next week. You know, obviously, Jordan Renan. Is it Renan? Renan?
Ronan, I say Ronan, Jordan Ronan, yes.
Giants beat reporter for ESPN. He just tweeted 10 minutes ago. He said, Brian Daboll knows Lions coach. You know, this is quote from the tweet right now. At Jordan Ronan. Brian Daboll knows Lions coach Dan Campbell well. Interviewed and hired him in 2011 with the Dolphins as a tight end coach. In the interview, he remembers Campbell slamming chairs and hitting the wall, was out of breath by the time he finished. Quote, entertaining interview, Dable said.
Oh my God, I'm looking at that right now. That's hilarious. Yeah.
And our friend of the pod, Justin Penick, replied to that, man, I love football.
Yeah. I see that too. That's really funny.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that one. Again, the Giants are a team that Our buddy JT always alludes to it, and he's absolutely right. The Giants are never on NFL Red Zone.
I doubt it. They might show just when they score, but
yeah, like you're, so, you know, Q's at the game, Q's at every home game. So for those weeks specifically, he's not watching Red Zone. If you watch Red Zone from 1 o'clock to 7:30, you probably see the Giants maybe four or five times across 7 hours of commercial free football. But they're 7-2. It's not like recent years where you see them once and they're losing every game. You're not seeing them because the team they're playing isn't doing anything fancy. And the Giants just, like, you know, they don't really score fancy touchdowns. So it's not really getting shown on Red Zone a lot.
No, which is, you know, it's a really good point. They're just a gritty team. You don't
they just see, get
like,
it done.
Yeah, you don't see like, the flashy plays like Justin Jefferson catching like a 60-yarder down the sideline, or, you know, like Dalvin Cook running for 81 yards on Red Zone for a touchdown. But that's just how they play. And I mean, listen, they're winning games. Daniel Jones has been really smart with the ball. Saquon's doing his thing again. It's just good vibes all around. You can't really be upset. I think this Sunday is going to be a tough matchup. I'm a little concerned about it, but I think they can get the job done there. I think if they stop the Lions offense, they're gonna score. And then that's the thing. If they start out hot, the Giants, they're going to put a lot of pressure on that Detroit offense to score. So I think they'll be all right. The Giants, the road to 8-2 looks promising. And if you can be 8-2, you know, maybe Dallas loses this week to Minnesota. They're playing in Minnesota. Dallas will drop to 6-4. You have two games ahead of Dallas. Who knows what happens with Philly and Indianapolis this weekend? What if Philly loses?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Saturday.
Yep. Giants would be tied for first place in the division just like that 2 weeks in a row. So, I mean, a lot of good to come from this season so far. And I think a lot of more good things are going to happen. So, Tom, that's really all I got. I mean, it was a good win. Another victory Monday, 7 this year. It's kind of crazy. 7.
7 victory Mondays.
Yeah.
In 10 weeks, including the bye.
Yep. So you just keep pounding and we'll go from there. This is exciting. I'll be back at MetLife on Sunday, cheering on the fellas and hoping for another win, hoping for another victory Monday, Tom. So that's all I got, homie.
Yep. Giants have not lost two in a row this year under the new regime. They lost week two, and then they lost 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I don't see them losing again this week. So let's go, man. Let's just keep it rolling. Let's keep these Victory Mondays rolling. And are me and you gonna have to like start preparing like playoff arrangements for like the show and stuff?
Probably. I mean, I'm not gonna jinx anything yet, but 7-2. I mean, if you don't make the playoffs right now, I feel like something catastrophic has to happen. Because you know, world, man. They could lose games they're not supposed to, but they can also win games they're not supposed to with these last whatever 7 weeks of the season. So don't be surprised. You never know. They might turn some heads. They could be 11-2 at one point, and we're all going to be sitting here like, what the heck's going on? So
I tell you right now, if both teams stay on the course they're already on, that game at Minnesota is going to get flexed to primetime on Christmas Eve without a doubt.
Oh my God.
Because it'll be two really good teams, and everyone wants to see which worst primetime quarterback will have to win, because Daniel Jones is 0-9 and Kirk Cousins is like 2-37 or something.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's unreal. I'd be looking for that. And that Eagles game too, December 11th at MetLife.
Yep.
That I've seen talks about that game flex to like a 4:25 game.
Yep. I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun close to the season.
Oh yeah. It's going to be fun. A lot of good opponents coming up and a lot of cool days to play on Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve. So get excited, Giants fans. If you're not now, this is the time to do it. Yep. Thanks for listening as always.
Later.
Catch you on another episode soon.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace.